Welcome everyone to another episode of Trek Talk, Tech and Kirk. I'm TechMan16.
Strange Kirk.
Strange Kirk, right on. All right, Discoveries, episode 2, season 3 aired. How did everybody enjoy it? Kirk, let's start with you.
Well, I will say, Jansen made a comment in one of our private chats about how a lot of people were critical of the show were a little bit more happy with it. And I have to say, I can understand why. Because this was more of a Trek episode. It wasn't stormtroopers missing from 5 feet away and crazy gunfights. It was really more of a Trek episode. I mean, you had this spoiler alert. You had this ice that was creeping up, and if you don't get out of the ice by a certain time, then it'll crush your ship, which, as we know, throughout Star Trek series, there have been many instances where they were always put under a time crunch, some sort of a natural phenomena or some sort of thing of that nature. So I enjoyed that because it puts a little more suspense in there. You know, now it's a time crunch. Now we have to, what are they going to do? Are they going to make it in time? Or is someone going to have to save them? What's going to happen? It adds a lot of questions. I thought that the acting was good. I've never had a problem with the acting in the show. I think the actors do a great job. My problem always has been the outrageousness of the technology versus the timeline and where they place it in the timeline. So one thing that I did enjoy that I was surprised was when Georgiou kind of came and saved the day. And the reason why is because I'm not really all that big of a fan of her character. For whatever reason, I can't really pin it down, but I really did enjoy that scene. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought it was kind of weird that this other guy gets hit with a laser, and like probably a dude that works for a living all his life, probably pretty pain tolerant, and immediately he's just like fucking dying. She gets hit with it and she's still like fucking mugging him. And so some of that stuff, to me, it's like a continuity issue. But overall, I do have to admit, and it pains me to admit this, as you all know, because I hate this show, that I did enjoy the episode, and I found it very enjoyable in stark contrast to the first episode.
Awesome. That's a pretty good review coming from Kirk. How about you, Jansen? What did you think?
So I, of course, love this episode. Like, I love every single episode of Star Trek Discovery. But I liked it for different reasons than I usually do. So, I'm finally getting on to the point where I'm like, we're doing way too much of Burnham. And this episode was a delight to see. Because I really want those background characters. I want to know about them. I really want them to develop their own arcs. I mean, when we think back to Star Trek The Next Generation, I think that's one of the things we really loved, whether or not that weekly episode was focusing on Wesley or Troy or Crusher. We can kind of think back and think about our favorite episode for each character. And I'm hoping we're going to get more of that. And I really loved the arc they had started on Kayla Detmer. I think she has been one of those characters ever since they did the Arium episode where I wanted to know about Detmer and forget who that other character is, but her very good friend. You got to see that kind of interaction between the two of them, that care that they had for one another. I really want to see more of that. I will say the overall arc, I definitely had some issues with it, but overall it was enjoyable for me, who loves most episodes, and I was happy to see an episode where a lot of the naysayers of Star Trek Discovery were like, you know, I actually enjoyed this episode. I may not have loved it fully, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, real quick, I want to ask, for especially people like me, it's got like, and it, to me, this plays into exactly what you're saying. I can't even remember the names of those characters you're talking about because they played such an insignificant role, it seemed like, throughout the first two seasons, that it was like we don't know who they are, so it's just some person on the bridge, right? So for those characters, you're talking about the girl with the, like, the implant on the side of her head, and then the
right.
The black it was a black female with the, like, the longer hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So yeah, I agree with you there. I think that in Star Trek, all of the quote unquote main characters, they all had their own storyline. You know, it was something where you can learn about their lives and things like that. You know, you had it with Sulu, you had it with Kirk, you had it with Spock, you had it with Scotty, you had, you know, going into the Next Generation, they took it a step further where every character had their own storyline, and you would have multiple episodes where it was basically their show. They were the center point of the show. You know, of course, you would see Picard and you would see these other people, you know, and even taking it to Deep Space Nine, you had Quark. Quark had his own significant timeline, you know, where he, storyline, excuse me, where he went to his home planet to visit Moogie and, you know, he and his brother. So I do like, I definitely agree with you there. And that might be something of one of the reasons why I enjoyed it, because you're learning about these other characters.
And just to touch on that really quick, and what it was is, it wasn't just one story arc, like you were saying. It was multiple different stories for each character. And as so far, we haven't even seen a single story for each character yet. So I'm hoping that they're going to continue with that.
You're right. And it was definitely the Burnham show.
Don't get me wrong. I love Burnham. But I need to see more.
You probably won't get that kind of interaction, because most of Star Trek was individual episodes. It wasn't, there were standalone stories. Yeah, you had some two-parters and you had some callbacks, but it was never a serialized format as modern television is today. So to your point, Jansen, I don't think you're going to get much information unless the writers and storyline focuses on those separate characters in like a B plot, as a, you know, having a B plot and an A plot, maybe even a small C plot, so that you could see glimpses of various other characters.
You know, it's fun. The real quick, if you think back to the third Star Trek movie reboot, Beyond, I laughed like hell when I was watching that with my friends, when Kirk goes, when he was on his captain longs, and he says, everything seems a little episodic. And I just died laughing. I thought that was hilarious, because I don't know if the writers intended that as like kind of a Star Trek fans will get what we're talking about. Because, yeah, every episode there was like a general storyline, but it was very loose. And like he says, you could watch it pretty much every episode of Star Trek up until you got to like Enterprise out of order. And you could be like, not even know the main story, but you could still enjoy the episode because the storyline was basically focused around that single episode.
And I will say this, that Tech probably has a really good point about Discovery, about the format. One place we will probably see a lot of this coming up is in Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which is going to be done episodically.
A throwback with Captain Janeway. So anyways, pivoting back to Discovery a little bit, I think what part of the storyline really suffered from, especially in episode two, I'll be the negative Nelly today, was the reunion between Burnham and the rest of the crew. And it just seemed, look, everything in TV is very convenient and moves the story along, but this was way too convenient, and it's just like there was no time for a reunion. It's like, oh, you're back.
I feel like it was too soon. It was like you made this big deal about her trying to find this ship in the first episode. It was like the whole episode was her trying to find her ship, and then the second episode comes and the whole thing centers around them trying to find her. I just feel like they could have dragged that out a few more episodes. Number one, because you could have had kind of her independent storyline of getting to know the new, you know, world, the new, you know, this new place that she's in, this new timeline, this new galaxy, so to speak. And then you could have gotten Discovery to get to know the galaxy and get to understand it. And then, again, we could learn about these other characters, you know, we could learn more about Saru, we could learn more about Stamets we could learn about. A lot of these other characters, I think it would have given more time, but exactly what you're saying, it was too convenient, in my opinion, and it was way too soon. It was like, hey guys, I've been waiting a whole year. Oh, you're here. Boom, sets, you know, now we can do this convenient thing, everybody's back together, and now we can get on with the show. I just think they could have drug it out a little bit longer, and I think it would have made the story a little bit better. But again, I'll reserve some judgment for the next episode, and let's see how they do it.
And for me, see, I've heard this from a couple other people. I'm glad it was a one-episode Burnham, one-episode crew. They got back together. Because I did not want to have to suffer through another Burnham and Book episode.
Fair point. Fair point. I was not a big fan of that episode. I didn't even think about that. And that definitely, I hated the first episode. I probably, out of every episode of Discovery, that was probably my least favorite. And I even had a conversation with my wife, and we were watching it together. You know, she's a huge Star Trek fan as well. And we got all the way through, and I just looked at her, and she goes, are you going to watch the rest of the show? And I said, well, I kind of do a Star Trek podcast, so yeah, I have to, right? So to be honest, I probably would not have watched this episode had I not been a part of this podcast. And I'm glad I did. Because, like I say, I feel like it kind of redeemed itself, and insofar as it made me go, okay, I want to watch it some more now. Let's see what happens.
You know what would have made it more Star Trek? Here's some of the recommendations that would have made it more Star Trek. The techno babble when it comes time to take off. You know how they're trying to, like, I had an issue with the parasitic ice. But then I remember, oh yeah, there's the Tar creature and the Tar was alive, and then there's the demon planet in Voyager where the pool of liquid came alive and got transformed into the crew of the Voyager. But I'm like, all right, you know, that is Star Trek-y. But what really separated was kind of this techno babble, and what really makes Trek Trek is the interaction between the crew trying to solve problems real time. And I think Discovery is missing a lot of that, because it seems that in Discovery, everybody knows what they're doing at any one point in time. You know, it's like everybody's so locked in everything that they know how to do that there's no issue. There's like, no, okay. It's like, what do we do? Options. You know, like we can repolarize the hull in order to emit an anti-gravity beam so that we can try and lift off with anti-grav. It's like, and then somebody else would say, but no, they'll cause a shear stress. And somebody else, but we don't have a choice. We got to do it now. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yep. Yeah.
So there wasn't any of that. It was just like, lift off, go lift. And then all of a sudden, tractor beam. You know.
And there is a point that I want to make when we talk about the ending. A very solid point that hit me, but I'll save it for when we get to the end of the episode.
Oh, I have a bone to pick toward the, I'm going to go ahead and say it now, because it has to do with what Tech was saying. My thing is the guy looks up and goes, "There's an enemy ship right above us." Here's the thing, dude. You just got here. How the fuck do you know it's an enemy ship? Pro tip: you don't, right? So it's just little things like that are kind of what gets me, and I think maybe most Star Trek fans would kind of upset, just like back in the very first reboot when they were doing the Kobayashi Maru, and he goes, "Klingon warbirds have decloaked." I was like, "What? What are you talking about? You mean birds of prey? Because that's what those are." So those little things like that are kind of what makes me go, "You know what? You kind of deserve a smack, whoever wrote this." And whoever is a consultant for this deserves a smack for overlooking it.
So coming back to I'm going to nitpick on some things, because I feel like there's some details that may have been lost in translation. The race they encountered at that bar that they owned, it looked like part Orion, part Book, I guess, because they had those signs on the top of their head. I didn't get the whole thing with the guns. Like, the guns from the human, like, the guy was shooting, you know, that new race of alien that was helping the Discovery crew, and it took him like 20 seconds to like die. It was as if he was being electrocuted. But during the fight scene with Georgiou, it's like one shot and boom, they're dead.
Well, I will say that there was a point in that episode where I saw him manipulating the side of the gun. So maybe there's a setting.
That's what I took from it. Was there a stun setting and a kill setting? And that's why he killed that person. But I loved what he was doing with Georgiou, because I felt like she was saying to him, I'm a fucking Terran, do your worst. Because she is one of my favorite characters. And you somebody was talking about, you know, what he was doing to her versus another person. I have a very good suspicion her pain tolerance is non-existent. If you think about fighting her way to become Emperor of the Terran Empire, she would have to spend a lot of time in those posts and being tortured. So I'm pretty sure she can take a lot of pain.
I do like her character in that aspect, although at some point, like, why are you still taking orders from Saru if you're going to be that confrontational about it to find Burnham?
I feel like there's probably we'll discover later on that there's some sort of an ulterior motive, because she's not trustworthy, right? Like, we know that she's like the kind of the devil, you know, is what, you know what I mean? They're kind of going with that. So I feel like that might come into play a little bit later.
If you've seen her interactions with Burnham, if you looked at her face when Burnham came on the screen, she's taken to Burnham. She may fight with her and say she doesn't love her. She adores Burnham, which is why she follows the Discovery crew and protects them wherever they go, because of her emotion connection to Burnham.
So, all right. Yeah, I could see that. What about Saru's ganglia projectiles? That came out of nowhere. That was new.
Well, he used that before in season two.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. That was the episode where they were on his home planet, and I can't remember the names of them, the ones that were keeping him captive. They were basically, come to find out, they were once the Ba'ul were once basically the hunted ones, and they were, as long as they kept they kept killing these people before they kind of went through their evolution. The Kelpians before they went through evolution, then it kind of kept them, you know, kind of timid and so forth. And that's what they were afraid of. And then we saw the kind of the evolution where his ganglia, you know, it's like, well, you know, it's my time to die. And then really it was just basically him turning into the hunter.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's kind of cool. He also possesses what seems to be superhuman strength, so he could probably go toe-to-toe with Georgiou if the situation called for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure most of the other races are stronger than humans. Klingons are, Romulans are, Vulcans are, Jem'Hadar, of course.
Well, you'd never know that. I mean, if you go back and watch any kind of Jem'Hadar fight against Sisko, it's like Sisko kills like 50 of them. So you'd never know that.
But then you watch them with, you know, Klingons, and they're like beating the shit out of Klingons.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then Klingons are supposedly this warrior race, right? So.
Right. So there's definitely some inconsistencies there.
Okay. Next thing I want to nitpick on is how about that cameo from Linus, the lizard face dude,
the Saurian.
Is he a Thorian?
He's a Saurian, yeah. I love that character a lot.
Because he's just like, he's like, what is your visual range?
74,000 nanometers.
Yeah. I mean that I really appreciate. This is like, if CBS is ever listening to this, that's what we appreciate. We want to see the races of the Federation. We want to see the starships of the Federation. We want that technobabble. But I think having him in the scene is giving us that.
Yeah, I wonder if that little tidbit is going to be useful later on.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to present itself. I'm sure that was a strategic placement.
All right. Yeah, well, I hope they use it, because otherwise it's kind of like Chargaff's gun, where it's just like, oh, it's just there. Like, what? What was the point? Guy, he really reminds me of that, you know, in the Orville, the bold character played by Mike Henry, who's in the elevator all the time. He's just like, hey, what's going on? That's what he reminds me of. What do you guys think of Tilly in this episode?
Hey, Jans.
Do you want the Tilly fan to go first?
Yeah, let's let the Tilly fan go first.
I mean, I absolutely love Tilly in every single scene I see her, and I can't see her in enough of the scenes. And the reason why, because I was thinking about this, I'm like, why do I like her, and why did I not like her as much in this episode? Because, Tech, you've talked about my positivity. That me and Tilly share like this connection with each other, where we're both big hits. We both look at the world with that's full of possibilities. So my connection with that character is so dead on. However, what I've seen in this episode is growth, or at least a sign of growth, of when she was taking that walk with Saru. Now, while I wish that scene would have involved the dynamic of three characters, I think it was a little dry for two characters. I absolutely loved seeing Tilly in here and her awkwardness, because I think so many fans can identify with that. But, you know, at the same time, she can do no wrong in my eyes. So
the one thing I'll say about Tilly, I like her character because she's a very bubbly, positive person. She's kind of a mix between the comic relief, the optimism, and kind of the embodiment of what the ideal human being would be, right? You know, she can get things done. She shows emotion. We're emotional people. She acts a little, she's very socially awkward in certain situations where she doesn't know what's going on, which 99.99% of humans are when they're thrust into a situation that they weren't prepared for. That being said, I will say that the reason I don't like her character, one reason I don't, is because when I look at the Federation is it's very regimented. They're very accepting, of course, right? But they're very regimented, you know, and we can see, you know, in the academy with the physical fitness and things like that. And to me, if you're looking at it, you know, full disclosure, I'm a personal trainer and a bodybuilding coach. So when I look at it from a fitness standpoint, I'm looking at somebody like that and I'm like, how is somebody like that passing the minimum fitness requirements, which are there? And again, it's nothing against body shaming or anything like that. I'm just looking at it through the views of, if I'm in the administration seat of the Federation and I have an applicant, very smart and so forth, but then this applicant comes to me and they're winded, they can't run, they can't do the physical fitness. To me, it's kind of like, well, what transpired where she was able to get to that point? Because even if I'm not mistaken, and Jansen, I'm sure you would know better than me, because obviously I'm not a big Discovery fan, but there's actually a point where she was running in the Discovery in season one or two, and she was having a difficult time with the physical fitness. And that's kind of where that comes from for me. So again, it's nothing personal against any person, whatever, look however you want to look. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, think about it from an administrative standpoint. When I did public service, you know, you see there's a minimum physical fitness requirement for a reason, for dangerous situations, for whatever the case may be. So when I look at it, it's kind of like an oddity to me. I like her character. I like what she brings to the show. I like that kind of, that aspect of it. That's my only thing. And it seems like it's a big hang up for me. And it may be trivial to some people. But again, my job is in the physical fitness industry. So like that's, I guess that's kind of the thing that I would hone in on, you know, and it's kind of like how, you know, was there like a waiver or something? So, but in this episode, I think her character did a great job, because she was definitely thrust into a situation that was like, you know, Saru was like, on my mark, jump behind the counter, right? Because she's obviously not like a fighter. She's there for the intellectual aspect. So, but I do like the acting. I think the actress that plays her does a great job. And I do like the character overall.
So I really like the way it's, I don't know if it's the writers or the actress, but it's the unintended comedy that she brings.
Like I said, it's almost like part comic relief, right?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, Data had that being an android where he wouldn't understand human emotion. So he'd be like, oh, what the hell is going on? But with Tilly, it's kind of this whole, it's like, okay, we're Starfleet. Maybe you could like pull down your guns or, you know, tell us your name or something. And I thought that was a hilarious scene. Even though it's supposed to be tense, but interjected comedy into a very tense situation, almost very Trek-like, you know, to you know, have the viewer not be so tense on the edge of their seat. All at the same time, it was, I think she does give a very good first impression when you meet somebody, because then, you know, if you're making first contact, you don't necessarily want to offend anybody by appearing too smart or too rigid or anything. So I think she brings that element into play, because with the exception of maybe Detmer, who seems to be suffering from PTSD, every character is pretty much stoic. Although, you know, Jet Reno does do the dry humor bit. Where
that's the one they saved from that crash ship, and she's now one of the engineers,
right? Yeah,
she, that character is probably my favorite character in the whole show. That is somebody that people like that, I try to make my friends. It's like I try to force them to be my friend. I love being around people like that.
And that was brilliant casting on the part of Star Trek for casting a long-standing stand-up comic into this role. And that actress has definitely tried to do some acting, but I think this is the first role where she is definitely getting a lot of attention with. But she's fantastic. I love her in every single scene because of that dry humor.
Yeah, it brings something a little different to the show. And like I say, I mean, that's my type of people. I love being around people like that who just, for no reason, they just roast the shit out of you. And it's like those are the people that keep you in check. They make a joke, a very dry joke, and it's funny, but then you step back and you're like, yeah, it's true though. You know, they present it in a way where you can't really be mad at them. But they also they're brutally honest. And I really enjoy that out of just people in general. So I'm very drawn to that character. And that's definitely my favorite character.
All right, Jansen, why don't you bring up the point that you had earlier?
So the very end part where the Discovery is lifted up by the tractor beam from Bookship, that took me, like, the immediate thought was episode one of Discovery, when Admiral Anderson was saving the Shenzhou from the Klingons with that tractor beam. And I don't know if there is a meaning to that, but that brought me full circle to the entire series. And so I'm not sure what that is, if it actually will mean anything in the long run, but that was one thing that I caught.
Okay. So good. It like circles on itself, like a callback to its own show.
Right.
Okay. All right. So where do you think we go from here now that we're reunited? I know we've had some tidbits come out, at the end there, you know, what happens next time, but what do you think we're headed in terms of the overall story?
Well, Can I just say that some people told me to watch Andromeda? And
yeah, that was Amargan.
Yeah, if you haven't watched Andromeda, try to power through a couple of episodes because it's real bad. I got to like episode 5 and I couldn't do it anymore. But I see what a lot of people were saying about the connections with this season and Andromeda. And then some comparisons with Star Wars as well. But...
Well, Andromeda is a Gene Roddenberry property.
It is. Mm-hmm. And if this is a remake of Andromeda, I will take it all day long because I can watch it and get through it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love really bad sci-fi, but that's just bad sci-fi.
Well, how bad are you talking? Are we talking about Farscape bad?
No, Farscape's good. Like I can get through Farscape. This is it's real bad.
Well, you did have Hercules play Captain Bill Hunt, who went from playing Hercules to an outer space captain.
Yes. So what I saw in the trailer that's coming up is it looked like once they get to Earth, they're boarded. And I'm really curious about what that is. Somebody mentioned, now, if you remember the alien species with like, the metallic heads. We saw them on a view screen, and somebody is guessing it's the evolution of Control, because their pupils have the same 3 dots as Arium did when she was possessed. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll wait and see. I don't know. I really hope Control doesn't still exist. Because that was really the whole point of them doing this. So, I'm looking forward for them getting home.
So for everybody listening, Control was actually out of the book series. If anybody wants to read about it, it's on Memory Beta. But Control was basically a same kind of principle. It was a program designed to take in all inputs and provide the proper output sequence, and it was the head of Section 31 at one point, and then it detached itself from its parent program, which was, I believe, the Orbital Defense System for planet Earth, and it put events into motion to free itself, which is kind of like this circular kind of odd thought, if you will, that the program developed. And I think Earth becomes kind of like a Terran colony and abandons what the Federation stood for. And as much as that sounds really boring, I kind of think where they're going with this, they have to change Earth's mind first about what the Federation is and was and what it should stand for, it should have stood for, and then change their minds and go out into the universe and preach Federation.
Well, I will say that I hate to speculate, especially seeing as how I went from, you know, episode 1 of season 3, which was like, yep, this is what I expected, this is shit, to episode 2, where I was like, okay, I still don't like the whole premise of the fucking show, I think it's stupid. But this episode was pretty good. It was fair to Midland. And I want to see what happens to episode 3. So there was a huge shift for me. So I don't... It changed my mind so much that it was kind of like a mind-blown moment where it was like, wow, I'm actually interested and anxious to see what happens next week. So I need to just step away and let all my original judgment go. I still maintain the first 2 seasons were trash. And just kind of enjoy the ride. So for me, I don't even want to speculate what happens. I just want to enjoy and see what happens. I want to see if they're going to keep being able to draw me in, because obviously I'm a super hard critic of the show. So if you have the ability to make me want to watch, not just watch so I can actually talk about this on our podcast, I think that's really awesome.
All right. So let's do some ratings on a scale from 1 to Darmok. Where do you think this episode lies?
I will say that it's somewhere between his arms wide open and when the walls fell. Anyway, if it on a scale from 1 to 10, I hate to put a number on it because there's so many aspects where I would give it a 1, and there's so many aspects where I'd give it a 10. So I will say overall thumbs up.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you give a thumbs
up. There you go. If you get a thumbs up on any Discovery episode from the Kirkmeister, it's golden. Take it to the bank.
All right. I'm gonna put all my money on black. Jansen, what do you say?
I would give it an 8.
An 8 out of 10?
And keep in mind, yeah, I usually do 10. But I definitely had issues with Stamets doing one thing and it fixed the entire ship. That's really where it lost me, and it got a little slow with Tilly and Saru and the Saloni.
That's true. We didn't even talk about that. Stamets did one thing, fixed the entire ship, and then they got their communications device fixed, and like, all right, we're ready to take off.
If you fix internal comms, the photon torpedoes will work again.
I'd give it a quarter Darmok.
I understand.
For those of you that are listening, they're like, what the hell is going on? Darmok was probably considered one of the best episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation. So go rewatch it. It had everything. It had trying to learn a new alien language. It had two people on a planet trying to work together to fight a common enemy. It had a space battle. It had techno babble. It had everything that you ever want in a self-contained episode. And it ended on a really good note.
That was actually a really good episode.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Season 3, episode 3 coming your way next Thursday. So we're going to watch it and we're going to review it. And don't forget to listen. Maybe subscribe if you like. We don't expect you to, but have a listen. Enjoy it. This has been Trek Talk with Tech and Kirk. I'm Techman 16.
And Kirk's still the best captain.
We'll see you guys next time.